Leviticus 23, verse 24. Then the Lord spoke to Moses. Somebody just slip up your hand and say, Lord, speak to me. Yeah, if he spoke to Moses, do you think maybe today he would speak precious to you? Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, this is the new day in the Hebrew calendar of the new year, you shall have a Sabbath rest. In other words, this is not a season where you are going to be stressed out. Come on, somebody. I said, this is not a season where you're going to be stressed out. Come on. A memorial of the blowing of the trumpets. This was the Feast of the Trumpets. And then somebody say, a holy. Come on, say holy. It says a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. In other words, get ready for the unusual. It's not going to be a normal season. I declare it in Jesus' name. And here it is, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. I want to take some time, and I need you to lean in today, precious. I really feel an assignment to talk directly to you. This word is directly tailored. God gave it to me for you and for this house. And I want to talk for a few minutes along these lines, the Rosh Hashanah reset. Somebody say new year. Say it out loud. Say new year. Say clean heart. Say pure fire. Come on, raise your hands again. Say new year. Clean heart. Pure fire. Say it one more time and let all of hell hear you. Say new year. Clean heart. Pure fire. Now, Lord, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Somebody give the Lord a great big praise if you're claiming that. Come on, if you're ready for that, give the Lord a shout. Give him a shout. All right, you can be seated. I truly believe that I have actually heard the Lord as it relates certainly to this next season for our church family. For thousands of people who are a part of what we do here every week. But I've not only heard it for our church family, I believe I've heard it for your family, for you. We are entering into the new year on God's calendar, the Hebrew calendar. Now, of course, we know that we're on the Gregorian or the Greek calendar, and you must understand and know that God's calendar, the Hebrew calendar, is different than the Greek calendar. And I always tell you, I want to be on God's timeline. How many of you want to be on the timeline of the Lord? Because his is a Hebrew calendar, and it has never changed. So we're at the beginning of God's calendar, and we're at the end. We're approaching the last several months of our Greek calendar. And the lesson that I have learned through all these years is this. When our calendar is winding down, precious, God's calendar is just getting started. And the lesson that I've learned there is this. When we get to the end of ourselves, we are only at the beginning of God. When we wind down and we've exhausted all of our resources, all of our energy, everything that we have, and we have nothing left. Know this, when you get to the end of what you've got, you are only at the beginning of the one who can do exceedingly abundantly, far above anything you can ask or think. I got to teach this word, but I'll tell you something, baby, that's shouting stuff right there. Hallelujah. So we're at a critical juncture. And the Lord spoke that to me when I was overseas preaching. We stand in a time on the earth where there seems to be a collision of time frames. We are caught now in endings and beginnings. We are ending the Gregorian year, but we are beginning God's year. We're ending the final months of our calendar, but we are beginning the God's calendar on the Hebrew calendar. And these next 90 days are some of the most critical of our entire lives. It's a It's a time of consecration. It's incredibly important. There's no way that I can stress enough how important that I feel that these next 90 days are. Remember, I taught you last week, if you weren't here, you ought to go online and listen to the message. But consecration is the act of preparation. In other words, when you consecrate, you're getting ready for something. It means that something is about to happen. Consecration then is a preparing, but it's also a purifying. It's a separating of yourself unto the Lord for His divine purpose, for His destiny to manifest in your life. It's a time for miracles to manifest in your life. Do I have at least 10 people who believe that in the next 90 days God could do some miracles for you? Okay, if somebody's sitting on the miracle row, you ought to give God praise for miracles in the next 90 days. But remember Joshua 3:5, precious. I taught you last week that the Lord instructed through Joshua for the people of Israel to consecrate themselves, because he said, this is something you have to do. These next 90 days of consecration, it's something, precious, that you're going to need to do. It's something that you're going to have to make up your mind. And the payoff was this. He said, consecrate yourself. I'm about to do wonders, miracles in your midst. He said, I'm going to take you out of this tent. I'm going to make you holy, and I'm going to prepare you not to just be a warrior, but be a winner. He said to the children of Israel, you're about to possess the promise. And I believe for some of us in this room, at the end of this 90 days of consecration, we are going to have seen the promises of God begin to manifest in our life at a whole nother level. But what you've got to comprehend here today is that the most critical component to this next season of consecration is you. The reason that I say it's you is because of this. God has already led us into this moment. He's already led us into this time of consecration. And in your life now, you are the critical component. It is your yes that will position you to operate in the fullness of what God has for you in this next season. If you don't buy in, you will miss the benefits of these amazing 90 days. And we're not just having consecration in this building. We are doing something called kids consecration. We're taking our children's churches into consecration. We're taking our youth and young adult ministries into consecration. So this last season that we've been in, let's don't make light of it. It's been a season that has been fraught with tears, but God is able to turn tears into a turnaround. Come on. It's been a season like no other. But is there anybody here today that's right along with me and you could say, I am ready for a turnaround season in my family, in my life? Come on. So throughout these next 90 days of consecration, it's a Rosh Hashanah reset. Our lives will be reset by repentance, and they're going to be marked by mercy. So I'm gonna walk in an attitude and in an atmosphere of repentance, but my life is going to be marked by mercy. Somebody just slip up your hands and make that declaration that this next 90 days, say it after me, say this next 90 days, my life will be reset by repentance and marked by mercy. Now somebody give God praise like you believe it. Come on, the mercy of the Lord is going to manifest in my life in these next 90 days. God's going to make us holy as He makes us new. This week is a very important time. It marks an important time on the Jewish calendar. Rosh Hashanah actually starts tomorrow, September 22nd at sundown, and it will run through September 24th at nightfall. And Rosh Hashanah is also a feast called the Feast of Trumpet. And it begins what is known as the 10 days of awe, leading to the Day of Atonement. But Hebrew scholars tell us that these are days of grace windows. So I am declaring that these next 90 days, there is a grace window that is opening over your family. There's a grace window that is opening over your life. There is a grace window that is opening over your marriage. There is a grace window that is opening over your finances. Okay, I'll preach to myself. There is a grace window, Jim Raley, opening over you and everything connected to you. Is there anybody in the room that's ready for a grace window to open over your life? Come on. It's a grace window. Are you ready? It's a great window to get right with God. It's a great window to walk in the fullness of God. It's a grace window to get right with all others. So it's quiet now. It's a grace window to break negative cycles of sin and bondage. Hallelujah! For the Jewish people, Yom Kippur was so precious because it leads and unlocks the Day of Atonement. And this is the day in the Jewish year when the priest would go into the presence of the Lord and make atonement and present the blood before the Lord for the people's sin. And in these 90 days, listen, don't miss this now. The priest would go in. And in these 90 days, we're going in. Somebody say, I'm going all in. Yeah, everything that God has for me, I'm not going part of the way. I'm going all the way in. So in these 90 days of consecration, we are going all in. We are going. We will go in God's will, and we will boldly live out and share our faith. We will invite people to church. We will live our faith boldly. If they don't want to know you're a Christian, they don't need to talk to you. Come on, we are not going to be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you at work, don't let nobody tell you that they are sick, because if they do, pull the oil out of your purse, baby, and anoint them right then and there. Come on, you say, I don't have any oil. Go to the break room, get the microwave popcorn, open it up, get the oil off the popcorn, slap them in the head, and say, in the name of Jesus, with his stripes, hey, you are healed. This church is going to grow in the next 90 days because you're going to live your faith boldly. Who's ready to be bold in your faith? Tell your neighbor, get going. Yeah, yeah, but then we're going to be sowing. The only people that have a problem with this are stingy people. Come on, somebody. But that means we're going to put God first in our giving. I'm challenging you, precious, over the next 90 days. You know that your giving doesn't shift anything in my life financially. I have no agenda about giving, but I do understand this. Your giving is a reflection of what's important to you. And when you put God first, you're saying, God, you reign first in my life. So these next 90 days, I challenge you to make a covenant with the Lord and put him first. I want you to think about it. You trust God with your salvation. You trust him with so much of your life. If you could ever learn to trust him with your resources, and you could put him first in the tithe and then bring him offerings, the Lord will then bless you and do exceedingly abundantly far above what you can ask or think. But there are blessings that come in obedience when we are in obedience to God that money cannot buy. There are resources that God will release, and I want everybody who needs God to be a supply in this next season. Just open up your mouth and let God know you're depending on him. Come on. But I also know that there are blessings that we receive that have nothing to do with finances. But when we line our hearts in obedience, the Bible said, seek first the kingdom of God. And the word first there means first in place, first in position, first in priority. The word first there means that he has to be number one because he is preeminent. That means God says, I'm not going to fit somewhere on your list. I've always been and I always will be. But if you can learn to put me first in your life, first in your marriage, first in your family, first in your giving, first in your day, he said everything else you need will be added unto you. I wonder if there's anybody here ready to see everything you need added unto you by the Lord. It's the law of sowing and reaping. It's giving to God. It's putting him first. It's saying, Lord, I'm partnering with you in your work. So in this season, we're going, we're sowing. That means God will be first in our giving, including our tithe, our offerings, our time, and our talent. Whatever God, whatever I have, God, you get the first of it. And then on top of that, we are growing. Who wants to grow in the Lord? Okay, I got about 60% of you. 60% is a D if we're grading. But I'd like to at least get up in the 80, 90%, maybe 100%. If you want to grow, make a little noise. Come on. Come on. Somebody say, I'm growing. Listen, now you're growing. Now in Jesus' name, I'm losing weight. But I'm growing where I need to grow. Some of you say, are you fat, Pastor? No, I'm not fat. I'm fluffy. Come on, somebody. The fat belongs to the Lord. Come on. But these 90 days, we can reset even our diet. We can reset our mind. We can reset everything. So we are growing. It means our faith rises. It means our church attendance is consistent. That means we don't go one time and miss 2 weeks and come back a week later and say, man, what is he talking about? This 90 days, look at me, precious. I'm going to challenge you. Don't miss Sunday. Make up in your mind you're going to be here. Bring your kids every Sunday. Get your youth, young people plugged in. God's got something for you. Somebody say consistency. And then our walk with Christ is going to deepen and intensify. But make no mistake about it, this last season has proven something, that the devil is all in, that the enemy is all in, that Satan is not playing, that Satan wants your family, your peace, your power, your purpose. He wants the church. He wants the witness. He wants our voice. He wants everything that we have. The devil is all in, and what he is counting on is a church that is half in. What he's counting on is a church that's not all in. But I got back. Bad news for the devil. There is a church that's about to step in 90 days of consecration, and we're going to let it be known that we are all in. Tell somebody on your row, I'm all in. If you're ready to go all in, open up your mouth and give God a shout. You by live stream, precious. You watch us from around the world. You're sitting at home, and we are your church. This is the season for you to go all in. Let's talk about Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a sacred time. It's the head of the year for our Jewish friends. It's more than just a Jewish holiday. It's more than just a Hebrew tradition. It represents a divine appointment. The Jewish people believe it's a time where heaven leans low and God touches earth. How many of you would like for heaven to lean low? How many of you would like for Jesus to get in your house, Jesus to get in your car, Jesus to get in your mind? Rosh Hashanah and this consecration season isn't just about a new calendar. It's about new cycles. It's about new habits. It's about new alignments. It's about consistent behavior. It's about fresh oil. It's about new glory. Somebody say it's a new season. Yeah, it's so powerful to me. Rosh Hashanah is known as Yom Teruah, or the day of the shout, or the feast of the trumpets. It's the day of the shout. Would you like to shout one time? One, two, three, shout. Some of you really upset your neighbor just then, but just shout one more time and make them comfortable with it. One, two, three. If you didn't want to hear somebody shout, you should have sat next to me. Come on. And it's a season that's marked by the blowing of the shofar. It's the trumpet blast that declares, wake up, O sleeper. God is breaking you out of the old and leading you into the new. Rosh Hashanah represents a time when God is establishing in your life a new rhythm. Somebody say a revival rhythm. Come on, a restoration rhythm. God is establishing a new rhythm in your life. He's changing things in your life. You understand that God becomes the centerpiece. Now, Rosh Hashanah first, I want you to understand, is important, but you really can't understand or comprehend the totality of Rosh Hashanah until I just define the words Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means head, and Hashanah comes from the word shana that means year. But in Hebrew, shana means to change and to repeat. So Rosh Hashanah isn't just a new year. It's the chance to change negative cycles and repeat holy cycles. Oh, that's good stuff. So I'm changing my negative cycles. I'm not taking the drama with me into this next season. Those negative cycles, those things that I have dwelled on, those things that have captured my heart, those behaviors that have been inconsistent and not been feeding my future, I'm changing those cycles. And I'm telling you, devil, I'm not going to put on repeat the things that have defeated and delayed and destroyed my life. I'm shifting out of those cycles, and the good cycles are going to take the forefront. The things that I've been doing good, I'm going to do more of it. Come on, somebody. If you're ready to change cycles, break cycles, and start new cycles that'll bless you, give God a shout right now. Rosh Hashanah isn't just a new year. It's a chance to change the negative into a positive. It's the chance to repeat the holy things and the good things that you're doing. So in these next 90 days, it's important. Beginning on Rosh Hashanah, we will break negative cycles, negative practices, and negative mindsets that have kept us in lack and bondage and fear. If you're ready in these next 90 days to break negative cycles, come on, that have kept you in mindsets, that have kept you in lack and bondage and fear, open up your mouth and give God a praise right now. I'm not going to be full of worry. I'm not going to be full of anxiety. I'm not going to be full of unforgiveness. I'm breaking that this year. All right, somebody say then. Bring it back. Come back. There it is. Somebody say then. Shout then. We will establish and reestablish holy habits that release God's favor, forgiveness, freedom, and bountiful blessings. I feel like somebody is ready to do just that. Y'all don't make me come down here because I got a lot of preaching to do. But I think that I am going to praise the Lord, because the next 90 days, that's going to be my story. Lack will not be my story. Consecration will. Fear will not be my story. Consecration will. I will not repeat the same old habits. I will not dwell on the same things. I am more than a conqueror. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am cleansed. I am a child of God. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. With his stripes I am healed. Somebody give God a praise if you're ready for a reset in your head. Thank you, Jesus. Hootie-hoo. Watch this now. We're going. I love you so much. I want to see your life just so hidden in Jesus. You're so precious to me. I want you to go, not leave the church, but I want you going in faith. I want you sowing and growing. So it's 90 days. You remember when they used to have that stuff called Slim Fast? Y'all remember that? Who don't know what it is? Who knows exactly what it is? Okay, they said a shake in the morning and then a shake in the afternoon. A little bitty shake like that. And then a sensible meal that night. I don't know about you, baby, but that stuff was good. Get you some nachos to go with that bad boy. Come on. No, it did say a shake in the morning, then a shake at night, and then a shake in the afternoon, then a shake at night, and then a shake in the morning, a shake in the afternoon, then a sensible meal that night. I don't know about you, but if I've had a shake in the morning and a shake in the afternoon, there ain't going to be a sensible meal that night. Just roll me up by the refrigerator, open it, and I'm going to stay there until I am completely finished. Come on, somebody. But the truth is, it only worked if you followed the process. And I'm trying to give you a process today. And I guarantee you that if you will honor God in this process, things will shift in your life. So have you ever seen people, they'll do like the before and after picture. They'll start it before 90 days, and then they'll do a 90-day after picture. Just tell your neighbor, wait till you see my after picture. Yeah, in the spirit. Come on, wait till you see what I look like in the spirit. I may start out a little bit chunky. Come on. I may start out a little bit flabby, but in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be Mr. Universe when this is over. I'm going to have muscles and strength. Come on. How many of you want to grow in the Lord? This is a season, and it's about faithfulness to God's house, God's presence, God's word, to sowing, to giving, to investing yourself. This time is also called the Feast of Trumpets. It's the blowing of the shofar. And I want you to understand what the shofar means and what it symbolizes. It's not just noise that we shout to. The root word for shofar, this is the Feast of the Trumpets, and they didn't blow traditional trumpets, they blowed shofars. And the word shofar, it actually comes from the Hebrew word shofar, meaning to beautify and improve. So I'm declaring that in these next 90 days, God is going to beautify and improve our lives. Okay, look at your neighbor and just say, neighbor, I'm so excited for you. In the next 90 days, God is going to beautify and improve my life. And you're going to get to see it. I'm so excited for you. You're going to get to see the Lord work in my life. Oh. Come on, how many of you are ready for your friends and your family to see that God is at work in your life? That he's opening doors and shifting seasons and changing circumstances. Oh, hallelujah. Getting muscly, beautiful. Hallelujah. So watch this. This season of consecration is our divine wake-up call, because understand this, when the shofar blew at Rosh Hashanah, it was the announcement that God is up to something new. I said, God is up to something new. Hallelujah. I said, God is up to something new. Y'all, I gotta teach this word. But the good news is I can't see the time, so I really don't know what time it is. Hallelujah. God is up to something new. Somebody who believes God is up to something new, can you just praise him for the new thing? All right. This season of consecration then is our divine wake-up call. When we are declaring God is up to something new, new in my life, new in my family, new in my finances, new in my mind, and new in my church. Can you just raise up your hands and repeat this after me like you radically believe it? Say, this season of consecration is our divine wake-up call. When we are declaring God is up to something new, new in my life, new in my family, new in my finances, new in my mind, and new in my church. Now, who believes that maybe God might be up to something new for you? But here's what you got to understand. You'll only get out of it what you put in it. This is 90 days. You can do it. How many times have you spent 90 days doing things that didn't enrich your life? Some of you spend hours on Facebook. I'm asking you for 30 minutes. The shofar and the feast of the trumpets in this season is our wake-up call. Watch now. It beautifies our soul. It sharpens your hearing. The next 90 days will make you more sensitive. Hallelujah. It'll make you care for others more. It'll fill your heart with more grace and more kindness. The sound of the shofar pierced through all the other unnecessary noise and brought the attention to what was important. I feel this prophetically. As we get ourselves into the Word, as we are faithful to God's house, as we find consistency in giving and praying and sowing and giving of ourselves in these 90 days of consecration, God's going to sharpen our hearing. Your spiritual hearing is about to go to another level. In this season, I declare of consecration, God is giving you miracle ears. I said, in this season of consecration, God is giving you miracle ears. Who's ready for miracle ears in this season? Come on. Your spiritual hearing is going to another level. If you don't claim it, I already have. I said, God, let me hear your voice clearly. We are tuning out negative voices, the voices that are on the outside and the inside. I silence the noise in my own mind. I don't allow the enemy to get in my head and speak things that are not of God. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that I'm not listening to negative voices about my family. If you tell me that my children are not going to be mighty in Jesus, I can't hear you. Yeah. If somebody tries to tell you that your daughter won't be saved, say, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What I hear is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If somebody tries to tell you that you're going to be defeated, you need to say, I cannot hear you. What I'm hearing is this: greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I've got my ear. Tuned. Hallelujah. To the right voices and the right frequency. You want to say this after me? Say, in this season of consecration, God is giving me miracle ears. Somebody give God a shout for it right now. Oh, hallelujah. Say, I shut down negative voices of lack, fear, and doubt. I supernaturally hear his voice with complete clarity. I receive his divine direction. I hear, recognize, and obey his voice. I move forward into his divine favor with godly influence and pinpoint accuracy. Come on, if you're ready not to guess, but to hear the voice of the Lord with accuracy, just go ahead and give God a shout like you're catching what I'm preaching today. Somebody say, blow the trumpet, Lord. Speak. That means when the voice in your head that says, don't you pray, you tell that voice, shut up. When that voice says, you don't need to get in the Bible reading plan with the church, you know the devil ain't going to, listen, you know God ain't going to tell you that. Listen, don't go to church. Who's talking? Don't put God first in your resources. Don't tithe and sow seeds. Don't serve. Don't have faith. Don't believe. Don't believe for your family. Don't go all in. You tell that voice, I'm putting you on mute. Hallelujah. And there is one voice that I'm going to hear. I'm getting miracle ears. Come on. Anybody ready for miracle ears in this season? So. You resist that voice and you hear and listen when miracle ears were going, growing, sowing, right into a brand new season. But Rosh Hashanah is going to be marked by, and in this 90 days, is going to be marked by divine resets. Watch this. A divine reset is a God-initiated interruption. It's a recalibration. It's a realignment of your life. It's a realignment of your priorities, your spiritual condition. It strips away the old and awakens what is dormant. That in you that had potential, that in you that ought to have been producing, but it's been dormant, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. There are dead things that are about to come to life. It's going to prepare you for new beginnings, new things in His will and in His glory. Come on! Real quickly, if you've heard me teach this in the past, but on the date of Rosh Hashanah, on the date of this incredible time that the Jews celebrate, they believe significant things happen. Three things I'm going to share. They believe, number one, creation itself happened. Jewish tradition holds that Adam was formed on Rosh Hashanah, meaning that this time is not about dates. It's about miracle creation. It's about a new thing. It's about a Genesis time. It's about a Genesis day. It's about a Genesis season. God's about to speak to the darkness in your life that the devil said it's going to stay that way, but somebody's about to step into a Genesis season. I dare say, I need somebody right now that's ready to step into a Genesis season where God creates opportunities, where God creates new mindsets, where God creates new things. Open up your mouth if you're ready for new things. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 43, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Somebody say new thing. Somebody shout now. Now it will spring forth. Do you not perceive it? I need you to perceive where I'm trying to take you. Throughout these next 90 days of consecration, we declare that we will experience the new. Watch this, new breakthroughs, new breakthroughs, new miracles, new glory, power on a level and a scale we have never experienced before. If you're ready for God to take you into a Genesis season, how about the youth ministry in a Genesis season? How about the worship ministry in a Genesis season? How about your life in a Genesis season? How about your family in a Genesis season? How about your next season be a Genesis season? God created it. Okay, Isaac, they believe, was birthed in Genesis 21. Remember, his mom and dad were old and barren. Her womb was dead. That's what the Bible says. 100-year-old man and a barren woman with a womb that was dead. But on the date of Rosh Hashanah, on the date of the new Feast of New Beginnings, what was dead was resurrected. During this season, beginning Rosh Hashanah, I declare this, and throughout these next 90 days of consecration, I need you to declare in faith, these are days and this is the season of divine and supernatural resuscitation. Dead things are coming back to life. Some of you thought God was done. Some of you thought it was over, but God's about to breathe into your life. God's about to breathe into your family. God's about to breathe anew. Are you ready for God to breathe? Come on, if you're ready to consecrate and say, God, breathe something new in my family. Breathe something new in my ministry. Breathe something new. Are you ready? Who's tracking with me? Wave at me if you're getting this. Wave at me. Okay. The baby's name that was born is Isaac. It is Yitzhak in Hebrew, and it means laughter. If God could cause laughter, Yitzhak, meaning he laughs, to be born in a barren tent. If he could bring laughter into the barren tent of Sarah, joy is coming to my house. God, I feel that. He can birth joy in the barren places of your life. I'm trying to behave myself, but I feel like preaching right here. I want somebody who's ready for joy to get in your house. Just open up your mouth and give God a praise. If you've been mourning, just start dancing. If you've been heavy, just start praising. If you've been doubting, just start shouting. Just start shouting. Just start shouting. If you've been mourning, just start dancing. If you've been heavy, just start praising. If you've been... Well, if you've been mourning, just start dancing. If you've been heavy, just start praising. If you've been doubting, just start shouting. 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 Somebody give the Lord praise. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, joy is coming to my house. Now give God a praise in here. All right, y'all sit down. Y'all thought I was finished. Give me 5 more minutes. Who'll give me 5 minutes? Who'll give me whatever I need? Okay. Oh, come on. He said you could shout for another 10 more minutes. Listen, I am declaring that these 90 days of consecration, God is releasing joy. Third thing that happened, Joseph on this date was released from prison. In these 90 days of consecration, you ready for this? Bondage is breaking in your life. Depression, come on, fear over your mind, over your purpose, over your future, over your family. You can go ahead and praise him right now because praise will break the chains. Okay, I'm trying to land this plane. There were 4 ways that the shofar sounded. Number one, it was called the Tekea. It's not the place where you get sushi over there. Come on. But it was called the Tekea. It announced the king's coronation. It was a sound that was precious. It represented victory, kingship, and announcement. It was a single long unbroken blast. But the Tekeah blast declares the king isn't just coming, he's already here. Play it one time. So if you believe that the king is already here, open up your mouth and give him praise. So you're reestablishing in this moment the kingship of the Lord over your life. You're saying, Lord, you're in charge of it all. Psalms 24 said, lift up your head, O ye gates, lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory is going to come in. That means you're breaking any agreement with any false leader in your life, mammon, fear, greed, control, depression. You're starting this new year off different. Then there was the Shavuot. And the Shavuot means this, it's the cry of brokenness. There were three medium-length wails. It was to signify a sobbing sound. It meant weeping, mourning, and brokenness. It's the word shavar means to break or shatter. It means, Lord, whatever has kept me from you, I shatter it and I break it. And I'm repenting and I'm coming to you. Can you play that sound? There it is. Maybe you've had a season where you've been unsurrendered in some way, but it reminds us that God draws near to the broken and to the contrite heart. It is from the word, and it's linked to the invitation. Let me just say it like that. Teshuvah, that means to return. In other words, Lord, if I've been distant in any way, I'm coming back to you now, and I repent. These next 90 days, I'm giving it all to you. And then there's the terura. The terura means this. It's nine rapid sounds. It means alarm, urgency, warfare, and mobilization. It was to mobilize armies. It was to warn of danger. It was to announce that there is a visitation. We're going to war, but God's going to help us, is what it said. It says we're in battle, but God is helping us, so we're going to win. Play it one more time. Play that one. If you believe, even if you're in warfare, you're winning, give God a shout right now. Come on, give God. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Then there was the Tekeah Golda, and this was symbolized the final call. It was one very long, unbroken, extended blast, meaning completion, meaning judgment, destiny, coronation. What we're saying is this, God's going to finish what he started, but it's also, first of all, give God a praise if you believe he's going to finish what he started. But it's a time, watch this now, that pointed us to the coming of the king. I believe the sound that we're going to hear is going to be a shofar blast when Jesus returns again. It foreshadows the return of Jesus, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the rapture of the church, the day of the Lord. It's a call to urgency, consecration, repentance, and a readiness in your lifestyle. Can you play that for me, son? Are you ready to hear that sound? If you believe you'll hear that sound when Jesus comes, Take about 20 seconds and give him a praise if you believe. I still believe in the rapture of the church. I'm not playing, y'all. I believe in it. You can believe whatever you want to, but I'm going. He's coming and I'm going. But you know what? The blast also reminds us, precious. It reminds us that, hey, you don't have another chance. This is the moment. One day that sound will take place and it'll say that the King has come. Yeah, he's come. And that grace window is closed. It's going to be a weighty thing. But right now, the King is in the field. The window is open. The moment is yours to seize. I prayed so hard about this. Last night I sat at my house. I know. Whenever I talk about giving, whenever I talk about putting the Lord first, I'm always going to get emails. I'm always going to get told off by somebody. But thank God for the delete button. And if you push me too hard, there's something called block. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. I don't have an agenda. Y'all, I'm 61 years old. I've been here for decades. My heart is you. It's these campuses. It's what we lead. You're precious to me. I want you to walk in fullness. I want you to walk into these 90 days with me. I'm not asking you to do something I'm not doing myself. I sat last night and I just wept. I turned on worship music and I just said, Lord, anoint my words. I take what I do for the Lord so seriously. Don and I, this is our whole heart. We're so serious about what God has called us to do. So this is your moment to move with an urgency. This is your moment to lay down every weight, to silence every idol, to break every negative cycle, to dethrone mammon and enthrone the King. This is your moment when you realize my life is sacred, my time is sacred, my sowing is sacred. And my sowing is not just money, though it is my resources. It's my time, it's my words, it's my attention, it's what I give. Some of you have been given too much of your time to things that don't matter. You've been given too much of your words to conversations that don't matter. You've been given too much of attention to things that don't feed your purpose and your destiny. It's about your obedience. Why? Because Rosh Hashanah is not just about starting over. It's about starting consecrated. Don't appear before me, the Lord said, empty-handed. In Exodus 23:15, do you realize that whether it's financially, emotionally, whatever it might be, whatever you release now will shape the spiritual architecture of the next season of your life? You're shaping the next season. So I would challenge you to sow, to go, to grow. Go where others won't go. Go into the secret place. Join me in the morning, 6 a.m. We'll leave it up. Apostle, I work different hours. We'll leave it up online. Go with me into the secret place. Go and let your light shine. Invite people to church. Sow sacrificially, because the seed that you put in the ground is faith in motion. You hear what I'm saying? It's your faith in motion. When you sow a seed. That's why Dawn and I gave. I'm not going to tell you what it was, but it was a sacrifice for us to give this morning. We sowed our best seed. God may speak to you now. You didn't do it then, but God may speak to you now. We put God first, just like the Jewish people do. But you got to grow. You're going to go, you're going to sow, you're going to grow. Grow in your house, in your heart, in your habits. Let this season shake your slumber. Let the fire that you've been in refine your focus. Hallelujah. Let the word and prayer, along with your consistency, mature your walk. Who's ready for a Rosh Hashanah reset? Come on, wave at me if you're ready. No, I hope it's everybody. I'm not sure. Wave at me if you're ready for a Rosh Hashanah reset. So here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to just bow your heads for a moment. Lord, I pray that you would show every person in this room the fullness of your heart, but not just the fullness of your heart, the fullness of mine as well. Lord, I want to please you more than I ever have, Lord. I want to please you. I desire you, Lord. I need you, Jesus. I don't want to walk into this next season without your voice. I can't make it without your hand. I need your guidance. And Lord, I pray today that as I've unpacked this, that people who have spirit ears and spirit eyes will understand how important this moment is, these 90 days of consecration. Lord, I pray that you would dismiss anything in their lives or minds that would tell them they can't do it. I pray, Lord, that they would get in faith in growing, going, and sowing. Get in faith that in these 90 days, I'm going to be consistent. I'm going to come to the house of the Lord. I'm going to tune out wrong voices. That these 90 days, I'm going to put God first in my giving, in my living, in every part of my life. On live stream, you're watching. You can pray that right now. Lord, I'm going to put you first. I'm going. And I'm going to share my faith. I'm growing and I'm maturing. Now in this room right now, we're doing something a little bit different. If you're here and you'd say, Apostle, I want to be consecrated, but I'm not really even saved. There's things in my life that keep me from the Lord. And I need to get that out of my life. Some of you, you know, it's sinful websites. It's habits. It's things. And today is a radical day that maybe could be your wonderful new beginning. If you're here and you'd say, Apostle, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I've got sin in my life. I got things in my life that ought not be there. When you pray, pray for me. Jim Rayleigh, since you're going to pray anyway, I need to do some real surrendering today. If that's you, when I count to three, raise your hand. Are you ready? One, two, three. Slip your hand right up. Oh, I see. I see dozens of hands. So I'm going to do something different today. I usually always bring the people that are going to accept the Lord forward, but I just feel led to do this today. You don't have to be standing up front to get saved and get right with God. God will save you right in your seat. Now, don't email me and say, why didn't you have an altar call? This is it, okay? God's going to save people in their seat. And then we're going to take this whole house into consecration. I want everybody to put your hand on your heart. Pray this prayer after me. Pray, Heavenly Father, out loud and strong. People are praying it at their house right now. Pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, please forgive me for all my sins. Would you take my heart? Would you wash me clean? And would you make me new? I've been trying it my way, and it surely hasn't been working. But there's a better way. There's a higher way. And that's your way. So today, I choose your way. I surrender my life to you. I give myself to you. I give myself away. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. So here it is now. Here's the moment. If you prayed that prayer, I'll have altar workers up here at the end of the service. We'd love to pray with you. If you need healing, Pastor Cindy will be up here with our team, and we'll sure pray for you. But how many of you say, Apostle, I have felt this word, and I feel like this might be my season to consecrate? Hold your hand right up if you... If you can really mean this, slip up your hand right now and say this after me. Say, in Jesus' name. Will you stand, everybody? Come on. Nobody leave for a moment, because I want to pray a blessing over you. Slip up your hand and say, in Jesus' name. Lord, I need you. Lord, this next 90 days, I want you to have full control over my life. I put you first. I consecrate myself. I'm preparing myself for mighty things. So, Lord, right now, I don't make this covenant. I don't enter into this moment, said out loud, with a man. I enter into it with you. Raise up your hands and say, Lord, be first in my going, in my growing, and in my sowing. Lord, I give myself away. Hallelujah. Lord, I put you first. Yedabakiah. Come on, worship team. Lord, I just lay my life down these next 90 days. Now, would you take about 2 minutes before I release you? And would you raise up your hands if you're ready to go into this season with me? Would you raise up your hands and your whole heart and say, God, now is the time. Hallelujah, now is the time. Oh, I hear the Holy Spirit say, now is the time. Come on, this is not about a shout. This is about a surrender. Now is the time. It's a divine reset right now. Come on, raise up your hands if you're ready for a divine reset. Everybody raise your hands and say, I give. I give myself away. It's a Rosh Hashanah reset. Got two things to do. Now, we're going to be emailing and texting the phone numbers to you. You can also access it online. You can see it on our webpage, or you can see it on our Facebook. But tomorrow morning, Dawn and I are going to appear. No, we're not going to appear. We're going to be. If we appear at your house, no, God is in it. But we're going to be online tomorrow at 6 a.m. Glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. And it's going to be a time where we're just going to spend it with you. I'm going to teach those five things Monday through Friday. It's a Daniel fast. Who knows what a Daniel fast is? Come on, you know how to do it. We've taught it many times. If you don't know, you can Google it and find out. Or even just reach out to us. We'll respond to you and tell you what it is. But it's going to be such a moment for this house. Who feels like God's calling you into this consecration season? Wave at me. I think it's 100%. Blows my mind. Really, I do. What do you want to say?
And then I want you to put October 4th, Saturday, October 4th, on your calendar from 9 to 1:30. We're actually going to have a day to equip you with prayer. So I had went over to Kingdom Culture, our Orlando campus, a few weeks ago, and we did a prayer equip day. And actually, their whole team is going to come here. And so if you would like to grow in prayer during this season, there'll be workshops on praying for healing, praying for deliverance, growing in prayer. So this whole season is going to unfold as we walk it out. But I just wanted to let you know about that so you can block that date.
Amen. Thank you, babe. Come up here, John. How many of y'all love Pastor John Wilds? We love him so much. Pastor John has been a part of my family. He is my son in the Lord for almost 13 years. And if you know anything about John, John is traveling the whole wide world. He was, I don't know how many places this week. He went to Africa. And then to Germany. Germany's next week. He's traveling the whole world. And we're so proud of him, aren't we? But this is my son. I really believe that with all my heart. And a couple years ago, he had an opportunity, and I knew it would lead to a moment because a gift like this cannot be contained in one place. And John is a part of our family. Most of you know that many Sundays he's somewhere already around the world preaching, but his life now is more in Nashville than it is here. And so, it would be different if he was like never coming back. But he's like Jesus. He's coming back in October. Come on. We've already set the date. But if I'm a father to him, how horrible would it be for me to limit him in any way? Is that what a father does? He's pretty much told me, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Did you not say that? John, I love you, son. And for us, we know that you're going to be headquartering out of Nashville now, but that's okay. You're always mine. Nashville can have your gift, but they can't have my son. They can't have you because you're always a son to me. And all you folks who are conspiracy theorists who say, oh, there's something else going on, I hate to disappoint you. How many of you have appreciated our worship even when John's not here? John poured himself into this. And we look at Pastor Courtney. How many of y'all love Pastor Courtney? Man. And our whole team, we're not missing a moment, but we're going to miss this guy. John, I love you. I'm proud of you, man. I love Natalie. Y'all are my family. Can we let John Walls know how much we love him? A lot of you already knew this. We've not kept it a secret. We've talked to people about it. All of our leadership knows. Our campuses know. So we've not made it a secret. But John, I just wanted you to take a minute and just talk to your family, because you're so precious to us, bud.
I love you too. I am so, so grateful, so thankful for Apostle and Pastor Dawn, and the past 13 years have been so beautiful and life-altering. I would not be half the man that I am if it were not for them. And for you being my family, I am so, so grateful. Everywhere I go around the world, I always brag about my Calvary family and how it's such a special place for me because it's my safe place. It's been a place where I've been able to learn and grow and serve something bigger than me. I tell people all the time when I go places, I like harp on longevity, you know, especially with worship leaders. It's usually like 2 or 3 years. So after my second year here, I said, Lord, please, please, please let me stay. And then after the third year passed, Lord, please, please let me stay. And it's been that way for almost 13 years. And but when he started speaking to our hearts, we came to Apostle and Pastor Dawn, and we've been processing this together for about a year or so. And they have been so, so gracious, so kind, and so loving, and so supportive of what God is speaking. I remember walking through the hallway with Pastor Dawn after our first conversation a year ago, and she said, I know you want me to tell you what to do. She said, but I can't, but God's gonna speak to you. And then she went like this, she said, and whatever he says, you trust that he knows what he's doing. And so those are the kinds of pastors that we have. Calvary has always been a place that raises people up. I won't go too much into where I was when I came, but let's just say this place has been a breath of fresh air for me, and it's been such a blessing to serve this house that is full of the presence of God, burning hot in revival. It's moving, it's growing, God is doing things, and like I said, as I was leading worship, he's just getting started.
Yes, amen. So now, come up here. I want you, this is your sister.
Ooh, I may not survive this one.
I love you guys so very much. And we love you, Courtney. In 30 years, almost 30 years, I've really only had 3 worship leaders. That's unheard of. I want you to pray now over your sister, because there's a mantle falling. All these new songs that you're hearing, it's coming from the heart of this one right here in this team. Come on now. And we're gonna go where we've never been. We're gonna release what we've never released, and we are remaining family. So, John, I just feel like you need to pray over your sister. And I want you guys to reach out. And I want you to pray over our next season that this will be the most powerful, supernatural, glory-filled season that we've ever had. Will you stretch your hands toward these? I know we're going a little bit long today, but John, pray, son.
So, Lord, I thank you for what you've done. And though what you've done, Lord, has been glorious, I declare that what you will do will be beyond anything we've ever known. I bless my sister, Lord. I bless her, Lord, with the anointing, Lord, to lead people into worship, Lord, to glorify your name, to exalt the name of Jesus. Lord, I just declare a greater season of encounter in her personal life. Lord, I declare that as you minister to her in her personal life, Lord, that what she carries in that secret place, Lord, will be an overflow in this place and beyond. Lord, I declare new songs. I declare new melodies, new lyrics. I declare new glory, new favor. I declare an abundance, Lord, an overflow. Lord, I declare that as she leads this house in worship, Lord, that the nations will hear the sound that comes from this place. I declare victory over her. I declare that every weapon formed against her will fall and be crushed in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare this mighty woman of God will be a leader of the nations in worship. Right from this place will be an epicenter of a move of God. And I give you praise for it now in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen.
So listen, Rosh Hashanah is about new beginnings. How blessed am I that I was able to do this with a son for 13 years, and now I get to do it with my own daughter. Calvary, the best is yet to come. If you believe it, give God a shout. I do with all my heart. All right, here's what I want you to do. Don't forget, 90 days of consecration. I love you with my whole heart. I want you to shake hands with everybody around you, and then you can use your hand sanitizer if you need to. But tell your neighbor, this is going to be a great 90 days. Come on. All of our special guests, we'll meet you in the back. God bless you. Come on, Pastor Dome. Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.